All right. If you are a man, we have Zoom meeting for men every last Sunday of the month by 6 p.m. You don't gather in church, just go on Zoom. So if you are on the plateau of the men, please join tonight by 6 p.m. Hallelujah. And this coming Saturday, there's our business breakfast. We have a topic we want to deal with. I think maybe Bratito, I hope they have fixed it, get ready. Is that one being typed? Okay. This business breakfast, the four faces of excellent business performance. What are the four things you need to do that you need to present or else your business won't do? If you leave one out, you may not do quite well. These are the four faces. So 1st of February, Saturday is coming. We're going to have this. Great. So please remember if you're in business. Next one. Now, I need your help. Tell somebody beside you. Pastor needs your help. Now, what we have a program in town for pastors. Pastors come over here every last Thursday of the month, and then we just share the word of God, encourage ourselves, and then we eat at our expense, church expense. So this coming Thursday is our first meeting in the year, and if you have any pastor friend, we'd like you to invite them. So do you have these handbills? Just wherever you are, they will come near, and then please, all right. So can I quickly, please be quick, very, very fast. All right. So just lift up your hands if you have any pastor friend at your house or if a friend of yours. Help us invite them. They come around. We just sit down and they have a good meal. I mean, real lunch. And then we just discuss. We are talking about how to accept the love of God. Today, churches don't really enjoy the love of God as much because the pastor themselves don't have access. They don't know the love of God well. So we have this Thursday talking about love of God in Christ. Yeah, so we want to deal with that. That will help us in different things. Hallelujah. Okay, beautiful. Thank you very much. Tell somebody beside you, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Ask him, how long have you been on this planet? For guys, you can tell. For ladies, none of your business. Praise the Lord. They will say, I'm on the 5th floor. Or say, I'm on the 4th floor. I'm on the 3rd, I'm on the 3rd floor. I'm on the 6th, I'm on the 7th, I'm on the 8th. Whatever floor you are in, Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. But I want to help us this morning for a few minutes. And I want to come in another way entirely for all of us over here. In my few years on earth, I've noticed that people start the year, want to run, want to get things done. They love to close the year with all the troubles and struggles and the success carryover. They want to go on to the new year. But I noticed something. For lack of word, I want to call it strategic hindrances. Write it down somewhere. Strategic hindrances. Strategic hindrances. Hallelujah. I noticed that people will try and step out and do certain things and without knowing is it a phone that's making noise? All right. Without knowing, they just get strategically hindered. And you see that word strategy, it means a planned effort, a plot that, let me give you what I call strategic hindrance. If you're into football or into boxing, your opponent will stop before the game, will stop practicing and watch you as his opponent. He will watch your move, he will watch videos on you. And then he will notice your weak point. So when he gets to the game, he won't only just box you, he will actually hit you more at your weak point. And the moment he hits you at your weak point, you lose your balance. He keeps hitting it again and again. And before you know it, a whole 15 round becomes a losing game for you. The same thing they do in football. In fact, one time, a particular club was penalized for spying on the other club in training. So this club will take this long thing. What do you call that thing? Like binoculars. And watch the other people practice. And watch the way they move. And then he'll study them and see their weak point. And then he'll come at them at that place and say, we're going to play defense all through this game. So the opponent will keep them from playing the defense so they can score. So now, you need to understand John 10:10. Take a look at John 10:10. John 10:10. Everybody look at it. The very first word in that verse is strange. Look at it. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See that word thief there? Every thief must have a plot. Every thief is a planner. Big time thief that robs bank. They have insiders, they have plans, they have when they move. And then they catch you unaware and throw you off balance so they can take their stuff. In fact, I got a Bible one time that used the word Satan as the word hinderer. See how I just said? He called the devil what? Hinderer. You know, hindrances. Hinderers. Just want to hinder you. So you, look, you want to have a great marriage this year. You want to have a great career this year. You want to have a great life this year. You want to live healthy. You want to lose weight. You want to get better. You want to read your Bible. You want to pray more this year. Now, that's your plan. But also a strategic hinderer. Who want to see that you are not happy? Stop thinking about Yatoyi as your enemy. Your real enemy is not Yatoyi. Your real enemy is the thief behind all the thieves that strategically plans to see that you don't accomplish. Somebody said, Pastor, who am I? I'm too small that the devil will bother me. Ah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Take a look. Everybody look at that verse in your Bible. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, verse 11. Okay. Please do fast. I said 2 Corinthians. Please listen very well. And we need time on our side. Whoever is there, please listen carefully. I know that they are just trying to practice to get used to this. A lot of people have left for school. We have to renew. We have to have some new people to work. So thank you. Lest Satan should take what? See that word. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his strategies. See, says some of us over here, we have great plans, but you are not factoring in the opposition. You're not factoring the Indra. And strategically, it just knocks you off. So let's look at some of those things that will hinder you. Okay, wait. Listen, everybody. What will devil do to stop the human race? Adam and Eve were in the garden. They had all dominion. Everything was beautiful. Everything was right. What will the devil do to stop them? Many of us, we think that we just come with a spiritual gun attack. Boom, boom. Oh, yeah. Attack, Ratty. No, not really attack. What did he do? Strategically hinder them from obeying God. He didn't come at them to put some kind of mist over their head or knock them over or push them into one big hole. He just told them, he said, the woman, do what God said you should not do. Eat the fruit you should not eat. Now, I have a news for you. When they did that, God himself couldn't do anything about it. Many of you are wondering why God is just stagnant and God just looking at things in your life. Because the moment you play into the hand of the game, you know, all that God could come and do is to come and give judgment. Because, I mean, we're going to look at those strategic hindrance points this morning because we're just starting the year. Some of you already, you're already feeling bad about the year now. You're planning to have a great marriage. You just had a fat last week. You plan to really control your money, but then loans app came calling. You didn't plan for that expense, just showed up. So let's look at our Bible. If you notice, Sister Moji read something this morning. Let's go back to that place. When she opened the healing reading, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, she read verse 11. I mean, if you notice that, no, you don't remember the Bible, you just read what she said. Huh? Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 11. Is it verse 11? Is it verse 11? 12. Let's look at verse 12. Okay, beautiful. Okay. Wherefore, give us in NKJV. Okay, they are digging it out of the script themselves. Can we give you? Okay, get your own Bible now. That's what he read first. But let's now think it, stand it, edest. Let's read clean Bible. Okay. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand do what? Take heed lest he fall. Now, tell somebody, the devil is old devil. I want to tell you, the devil is the old devil. He has not changed. The devil is not born again. Hallelujah. So he does the same thing. He's got his plan over the years. He has a way of injuring people. And you can learn from, like I told you, you can watch a particular person's game. Am I right? Like I told you, you can watch your opponent and see the way they move and then track them where they are. So let's also watch some things that devil does so we can also stop him from ending us this year in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you want to see that this year you got beyond what you actually planned for the beginning of this year? Many of us, me too, praise God. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 11, verse 2. We learn from there. We are still chapter 10. Look at verse 11. Now, all these things happen to them as examples. So, and they were written for our what? Upon whom the end of the ages have come. Now, God is telling us that he has given us this Bible. That's why I feel sorry for Christians who don't read the Bible intentionally. See, God has given us the Bible. He has given us devil strategies there. How he moves, how he gets people to be hurt, how he stops them, how, like our first father, mother, Adam and Eve, how they were deceived. So these are in here. Now, so we are going to learn from this chapter Satan's strategic hindrances. How does this stop a Christian from reaching his goals and getting better in his life? Let's go back to chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1. Let's go to verse 1. Take a look. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, can we read it in NLT so that it can be easier to read? Okay. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors where? In the wilderness. Long ago, when they left Egypt to go to promised land, all of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. Please look up here. You know what happened to them in Egypt? It was quite rough. 400 years of slavery. And God sent Moses, the man of God. And he came with the rod of God in his hand. 10 miracles showed in Egypt. And God made a way for them in the Red Sea. God will make a way where there seemed to be no. You cannot see. He will. He will be my God. All right. Thank you very much for singing. Let's go further. Now, see, there was no way. It was Red Sea, and God made a way through it. Strategically telling us that God will always make a way if you just let him do that. He said they were led by the cloud. That was a cloud that moved before them. Next verse. Look at this. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. Wow! See, they were a bunch of slaves with no direction. But when Moses came, they came around Moses, focused around Moses. So Moses led them. Like today, Christ is leading our lives. Are you hearing me, somebody? So they followed Moses. We just had Reverend Moses talking about following Jesus. Next verse. What happened next? All of them ate the same spiritual food. Manna. We are eating spiritual food of the word of God today. Are we? Are we not? Next one. All of them drank the same spiritual drank water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. And that rock was who? Wow. So Christ was with them. So Christ was the one telling Moses what to do as an example. And Christ himself is with us today. Let's clap our hands for Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, all of us know that the people of Israel went through the wilderness and majority didn't make the promised land. You know what happened? Strategically hindered. Over 2 million left Egypt, but only about 2 and those who are less than 20 entered the promised land. They didn't understand that there are hindrances and there is the devil who is trying to hinder each one of us. So you need to know how to handle that. Let's look at what are the things that, I saw a word during the week. It's called spanners in the works. I don't know if you have heard that idiom before. Spanners in the works. What's that? Spanners in the works mean that you throw trouble. Like now, if you are putting something there that is working, like engineer, you throw spanners there, just scatter the whole stuff so you won't let it work. The devil knows how to throw spanners into our works. Now look at next verse. These things are, okay, I wonder what's happening. Okay, are we okay? Is that the next verse? Yet God was not pleased with most of them. They had a goal. They want to get to the end of the year. They want to fulfill something. They want to enter the promised land. But many of them were not pleased. Their bodies were scattered. They never reached the goal in the wilderness. This is my 45th year as a Christian. I have been hindered and I've been helped. I know to be helped is better. Pastor, you are always free, man. You don't have any problem. I know when devil is hindering me too. Anybody here? Have you been hindered before? Can I see your hands up? If I don't see your hands up, you didn't hear what I just said. One way or the other, you've determined to do something and then you're just hindered. Oh, God, can you believe it? Oh, no. So, but what the devil does to hinder us, we're going to see some couple of things that he used to throw into our ways. Let's look at the first one. Let's go. Number one, verse 6. These things happen as a warning to us so that we will not crave what? We will not what? Now, the first hindrance in your life is your cravings. Wow, write it down. The first strategic hindrance in your life is your cravings. Cravings are desires within us that are not legitimate, that are not good for us, that will hinder us. You know, how many of you have heard of bank robbery before? You know, how many of you have heard of bank robbery? Bank robbery. You know what bank robbery? Bank robbery will never succeed until there's somebody an insider there. You hear what I just said? An insider will help them to be able to move in. America cannot attack Iran easily. Do you know why? See, are we here, everybody? I can tell you what this is, but I don't have time. America will travel around the world, but they can't just attack easily. They must have a place, a base to attack from. Like now, if they want to work at Iraq, that's what they call it, you have to find a place where you can pack your local resources and your bombs and your tanks so that you can move from there. So they will sign alliance with Jordan and Saudi Arabia so that they can land there and go, because they can't travel all the way. It's too far. The devil cannot so much achieve so much in your life until he has a base. And your base is your cravings. John chapter 14, take a look at this. We were starting the year quite early, so we can be aware of this. It will help you so much. Please don't sleep now, because you can sleep off your success. Hallelujah. This is quite a point of success in our life. Take a look at this. Verse 30, 14:30. Take a look. Give us in NKJV. The way he said it is amazing. Quickly. Can you see something? I will no longer talk much with you. That was Christ about to go to the cross. For the ruler, the devil, is coming. But something, he has what? Oh, he has no landing base in me. You know, when that old deceiver came to Eve, what was the hooker? See, you can't catch fish without a hook. But hook, no fish will pick hook. Who want to eat hook? But there's a worm on it. That worm is the hook. The real hook. And then the fish will go for the hook. No, go for the worm and be hooked. So, he said to the woman, she said, Bible says she loved to eat and she liked the way it looked. So your number one problem now this year is your cravings. It's your cravings. Your desires. Uh, that you know that is hindering you. You can't spend all your money on food and have savings. Your craving for food is too much. Huh? Your cravings for assorted things is too much. So that craving will just be the basis to land for you. Like somebody said, owo lowo owo eni. That's a landing base for a lot of loans. Are you hearing me? Sorry, prof. It means that whether it's my money or somebody else's money, I should not be wanting of any of them. Devil will load you with a lot of loans because, oh, low. Are you hearing me? Cravings. You know, one of my battles as a Christian, I'm not talking as a pastor now. You see, pastors look like they look like holy. They are all human beings. They are Christians too. They face things too. About the boy, he faces things too. He goes to the toilet. Abeko. He doesn't go to heaven. He goes to the toilet. So all of us face things. Don't let them look as if they know anything. See, I got cravings. And when I have any problem, like now, if I'm bitter toward him, it's my craving that is bitter. I'm feeling bitter. So if I don't get that craving mastered, I will finally bitter him. Do you understand that kind of grammar? But if I can take hold of that cravings. Now, Pastor, what cravings? Chapter 5, Galatians. Look at verse 17. Give us an NLT. There are two kinds of cravings within you. This you need to know. Oh, this is not clear either. Give us an NKJV. No, this is not. But okay. Maybe we'll use this one too. Okay, stay with me here. Okay, good. Let's read this one. The sinful nature want to do evil. It's the word flesh. The flesh want to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your. This year, I plan to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible this year. I'm going to focus on the Bible. I plan to start from Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, every day. Then, second chapter 2, something came up. I must search internet for that thing. Some kind, I heard that somebody stole some money. You know, so I start following my cravings. I don't know about you. Sometimes I look at the Bible. I don't feel like reading. The other one, I like reading. Anybody like me here? Confess your sin. You know, we are all that same way now. You know, I want to check something on the internet. I want to see something over there. But I got these desires. I got this double desire. I have this desire to serve God, follow God, do something for God. But I have this other desire to go. Why not now? Huh? Let's look at those things. Let's look at one or two or three of them. Let's go back to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Can we go back there? We read verse 5, right? Read verse 5. I'm just giving you practical things you can do. Let's look at these cravings. Go back to chapter 10. Okay, give us an NLT. Verse 5. I think we are verse 5. Okay, verse 5. Now verse 6. Are we verse 6 or verse 7? Okay, yeah, we're here. These things happened as a warning to us, so we will not crave evil things. I'm sorry, let me talk to men over here. You know, you open your phone, you see a naked woman. Pornographic invitation. Something pulls out of you. I say, something pulls inside of you. Women don't understand that. The killing woman. Isn't this that kind of a thing? Just like you women, fashion pulls you. See, when women are opening phone and they see shoes, hey! Something just move. Dress, just move. I can't look at that dress again. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the craving's there. You have to, first of all, tell yourself, you just bought one yesterday. Next time. So, men, when they see beautiful, you have to before I was born again, I was a disco dancer. How many of you know disco? You know, reggae, Uroy, old school, and Bob Marley, see, Godina, T.D. How many of you remember that one? You never remember. So the older will remember. Uroy, Kaya. You know, Bob Marley. That's the kind of. So after I got born again, I was passing by a music shop. And I had my leg began to. I said, stop, let's go that way. You know, craving is still there, man. Now it's reduced now, but it's somewhere still there. You know, have you ever been there before? You hear a music on the air, it's crazy music. And then you leave it, you start hearing it again and again and again and again and again. Confess your sin, everybody. It's not sin, it's temptations. It's just keep going. Some of you that like food, you just see one food like this. Even when you are going to work, the food is before you. You know, when you get to work, the food is before you. I must order for that. I must order for that. I must order. All of us have it. Let's look at one or two or three of them. Next verse. Quickly, let's look at one, which I just talked about. Or worship idols. Give us an NKJV. So we will break it down. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it's written, people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, please look up over here. The very first thing that Paul talked about strategic hindrance is idol worshiping.
Pastor, I don't worship idol. I don't do go now.
Idolaters. What's an idol? What's an idol? They have today African idol. They have American. We have even used the word idol for them today. Idol. What is an idol? An idol is you want to represent God. Since that other God is not working fast. That's what Israel did. They want to have another God. We just talk about people that were given soap, candu, marijuana. What else? Banana. They give you all those things to substitute for God. That since your God is not responding quickly, like Israel told God. See, Moses went to the mountain to seek God. Before he came down, people said, look, we can't see this God. He's gone to be with his God. Let's make God for ourselves. Let's set something up that can just do it. So, if ibadi, because you're looking for something to talisman, some kind of occultic power. You can see today in our films about making money rituals. It's all over that you can find a shortcut. All of us are looking for shortcut. Pastors are looking for shortcut. Members are looking for shortcut. How can I get crowd to fill up this place? So we start, pastors start going. You know, there was a lady who met my friend in Ibadan. He was preaching in the program. And the lady said, I was talking about the devil is bad. And the lady walked up and said, the devil is not bad after all. Huh? He said, the devil serves us. Her father was a major idol worshiper. Pastors go to their village to do juju. And she lives in a particular town that the pastors there will bring money to her because they are serving her father. So she can't believe that there's anything in church because all these pastors are looking for power to keep their church going. Everybody's looking for something to just add more. So number one, the cravings to have something outside legitimate way is in all of us. Who doesn't want free something? Who want to pray and fast, read the Bible? I don't have time. Give it to me, man. Are you here? Are you here? I said, are you here? Who want to work hard today? Let's have money. Let's just cough 3 times and money start pouring out. Huh? Would they? It's easier that way than just struggling and making moves and cutting. So idol worship is a great temptation for us in our cravings to make things easier for us. Now you guys, you men over here, that's your trouble. You see, you can go abroad. You see guys, they don't get any job. Why? Because they are looking for something that just bring the money in. But their wives will do this and do that and cut this and do that. And they manage and put things together. But the guy is waiting for when they'll call him from Harvard. You know, my mates as pastors, they don't stay in church. And they want their church to grow. They go around in town carrying bag. You guys, please fight laziness. It's easy to just find a way to make it life without costing you anything. And this year, your goals will cost you effort. Remember the pictures I gave you about 3 pictures the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. He says the soldier must focus on his command. The artist must run toward the goal. And the farmer must work hard. Any other way you are looking for it, it may not work out well for you. At the end of the day, you'll be a fool. Praise the Lord, somebody here. Am I making some sense this morning? So the cravings, now let me show you another idolatry that we don't talk about. Ephesians 5. Something is also called idolatry in the Bible. Let me show you. Ephesians 5. Quickly. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Let's run. Our time is fast spent. Shola is waiting for me to behave well this year. Okay, all right. God. Look at, excuse me. Wow. Look at verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is what? What did they call a covetous man? What do you call him? Idolater. Let's look at chapter 3, Colossians. I think they said the same thing in Colossians chapter 3. But yeah, the same word again. Look at verse 5. 3 verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? So, idol worshiping is wanting his car, is wanting his degree, is wanting his life. That's idol worshiping. Wow. I can want something for my life, but I do not want what he has. What he has is his own. Wow. These are what we need to deal with. These are satanic strategic hindrances. See, when I spend time converting, I won't focus on getting things on my own. Are you hearing me? I'm looking at, I will lay. See, that's why some of you men are not happy. You're not happy because I will lay. Want to kojam me? But when I was secondary school, oh, and the junior, long by, I was in senior. All that time you are wasting to do that, put your hands to work. I never envy anybody. I never pass by expressway and say, look at camp. Oluwa, Oluwa. I'm going to blame you. Oluwa, Oluwa, I will camp. I won't further and say, look at camp. I want camp. I don't want camp. Baba Debo Ilone camp. I don't want that camp.
Pastor, if they give it to you.
Kimo Femi say. Tell them I run there. Who can run it? Baba Debo has the grace. And I have the grace for this place. And God will increase us more and more. But meaning Rajuma, something that's not my own. Rajuma Yawuni Yahu. It's our own. It's his own. Ka one ka. You go to the compound. You look at the car. Uluwa. Uluwa. Bale mama luka. And start from where you are. You know, my wife, clap for my wife. I'll tell you what I said, clap for my wife. My wife helped me to come down to earth. Those are our earlier days. My wife said, let's buy land to build a house. I said, no. When I have money, I will buy a house. I don't get money to buy a bicycle. Thank God she helped. As I said, to clap for her. You know, you just believe in the wonderland. Oh, when I go abroad. You know, last week something happened to us. This last Sunday, there was a young man I was talking with over there. We were looking at some companies, some businesses thinking of doing. And he's thinking of traveling. He has already, the sister's already been working for him to travel abroad. And it's been delayed so much. The delay was just, for months now. Just been blocked. I said, okay, let's sit down, David. So we met on Wednesday. We started looking at what we can do right now before we can travel. What kind of thing can we do if we travel or we don't travel? How do we cope with this matter? So we sat down strategically looking at what we can do. We look at the business. We look at that. We focus it. And I said, okay, David, if we travel, yeah, we can continue. If we don't travel, we can continue over here. We left on Wednesday. Thursday morning or Friday morning, he sent me a text. I just got my visa. See? What I'm saying that, instead of covetousness, do contentment. Wherever you find yourself, give it your best shot. And as you do that, God will move in and increase you. And before you know it, you will have a better car than your neighbor. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Hallelujah. That's another craving. Let's look at the next one. Let's go back to quickly. Our time is running. We should stop. Okay, First Corinthians 10. We're looking at satanic strategic hindrances. Cravings. We've looked at idol. Let's go back to chapter 10, First Corinthians. We should be around verse 7 now, right? Okay. Go back. Give us in. Okay, good. Go back to NKJV. Something I want to pick up about idolatry, I want to pick up over here. Okay. And don't become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to. Now, listen to this. One of the greatest idolatry today is entertainment and pleasure. See, they will sit down to eat and to drink and do what? Rise up to play. If you know how much billions of dollars spent in data over entertainment in our country, I've seen people who are poor, who are struggling, and they are begging for money. And when they stop at your door begging for money, their phone is open to movies. They're watching movies, and they're spending hard money that they beg to collect to buy data, and they're watching entertainment. They are not engaging their mind in something tangible, something fruitful, something productive. A lot of you, sorry to say this, in our world today, not just only church, we spend so much. You see somebody open a shop, and he will open a shop and put an African magic watch in there. You can't even attend to the shop. You can't think. You are so much of entertainment. Now, I'm not against entertainment. We need to rest, relax. But when relax becomes a lifestyle, we are heading for failure and doom. You go abroad. You don't see TV left on in the office, except it's Hollywood, where they are monitoring the films. But you go to our offices, yes, entertainment is everywhere. Hijo, kill him, Jonah, kill him. Entertainment is big to the idolatry. So let's shut it down. Stop and think, Just be fiddling with phone. Let's. I hope you like me this year. Pastor, you have not changed. I've not changed. The year has changed, but I've not changed. Tell you the truth. So, playing. We must reduce playing. Nigeria, we work at playing and we play at work. You hear that? We work at playing. The body ceremony by Basima Dede. You see policemen carry like. But take them to Boko Haram. What is happening? But they know how to block people, how to stop, how to cock the gun. You see all these our politicians line up at party looking for the front places and they can't write one policy clearly. Today, we are paralyzed by entertainment. We're not going to walk. Do you know there was a train in Spain that went off and killed people? You know what? The engineer was on phone. So playing. Tell somebody beside you, reduce your playing this year. Put some effort more into life. Let's look at next one quickly. Next verse. Let us not commit sexual immorality. As some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 fell. One of the things for your stage like this that you have to be aware of is, you see, sex is a sweet pleasure, but it's a trap too. You can ask Samson in the Bible. Samson's life was truncated. He never took his life to the best potential available. Look, if sex is not sweet, we'll not be talking about it. But there is a problem all of us will be aware of. Illegitimate sex destroys us. I know that sounds foolish because it's pleasurable. But the poison of rat is not bitter. The poison of rat is sweet. That sweetness gives it potency to kill it. I know, man, of course, why young people, particularly young men around here, these younger women who have sexual drive beyond measure. You just think that, you know, you thrill, kind of a thing. But the attendant consequences over the years will put you in a lot of mess. Let's start like this. If you start going out with a lady and start sleeping with her, you're not married to her, what happens is that she wants to be committed to you and snatch you from your present relationship. That becomes a fight. Second, it can result to pregnancy. Oh, you got a blade, they can remove it. It's called murder. So you are starting with murder in your life to face the future with. Or you deny the pregnancy, the baby is taken away to come to your future to show up. Or, which is the most critical of all, your reliability, your faithfulness is questioned. We can't trust you anymore. Your wife can't trust you. Your husband can't trust you. Because you don't know what you're going to do next. The money with you, we don't know where it's going. And that can plague you all your lifetime. It takes God to help a woman or a man to erase infidelity. Every time they look at you, they don't see you, they see your infidelity. You have to do extra things. Some of you guys that just think, my wife has to forgive me now. It's not that so easy to forgive. Why? Because there's something more than sex and sex. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Let's round up. We can go further. I wish I can talk about other ones, but let's look at this and round up with it. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. We'll stop there, or else we cause commotion. Let's go to chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Let's go to verse 15. Maybe let's use the Message Bible. It's very interesting there. Maybe we should start the verse before this one. Verse 14. Okay, next, verse 13. You know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing. But that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the master honors you with a body, honor him with what? God honored the master's body by raising it from the grave. He will treat your own too with the same what? Let's keep reading. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with same dignity as the master's body. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a war house, will you? I still hope not. You will introduce Christ to his prostitute. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. You know, sex has much spiritual mystery as physical fact. You know, the world is overplaying the pleasure, the thrill, the stuff, but they never. Did you understand why God put so much pleasure into sex? Because it's an eternal material. Think about it. Sex is the only avenue to produce a man that will live forever. Wow. That's why sex is powerful. It generates a whole human being that will live forever. So sex is a mystery. It's more than skin on skin. It's more than just the taste. As written in scripture, the two become one. Let's go on reading. Since you want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. It becomes like a hooker, like a cocaine, like a drug. You take it now. You sleep with the guy. You get up again. You want to, you know, you just sleep like somebody, we call them drug pusher or something, or addicts. We're more lonely than ever. Look at all the hype on sex today. Why do we have so many divorces and breaks down and all kinds of things? Next verse. Let's round up. I said I won't go beyond this one today. There's a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. The devil is so smart in this area. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love for becoming one with another. So in sex, when you just sex with anybody, sex thing and things like that, you are actually violating the holiness, the value of your body, and you are selling it cheap. I'm not against sex. Without sex, you will not be here. Let's round up. Is that the last part? Is that the last verse there? Oh, didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that you can't live however you please, scorning what God pays such a high price for? The physical part of you, not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God holds the whole work. So let people see God in and through your body. Now, disclaimer. When you talk like people say, oh, pastor, you don't feel, you don't understand. I'm a man like you. So feelings call for all of us. Remember my Godina TD and my leg is moving. Remember? I was passing by a music shop and it started moving. Let's go this way. The same way, for men here, we have been brought up in this sex-saturated society, SSS. Sex is all over. They want to sell car paint. Car paint! They put a girl there with this thing up like this. The short up here. They put the paint brush here. I won't say the what he meant, you know. And he say, your car can have this kind of paint. I want to paint my car. I don't want to look at the girl. But the company knows that the more they get the girls to look like that, the more they will turn toward it. And by the way, you will see the paint too. I know some guests are saying, why are men like this? What blame one? So what do we do? It's a constant battle. You know, my mind will tell me, your wife is not fine anymore. See gray hair on her. Why is not fine? Say, I'm not too fine. No! Shut up. You know, I start arguing with myself. Shut up. Pastor, you mean you have that too? You think I'm a wood? No. One day God convinced me, that blessed me. He said, you know that girl that looks like that? I said, huh? He said, she looks so fine, but she needs commitment. No matter how fine she is, she wants to be in the person's life where no matter what happens to her, the person will be committed. She doesn't want to just be consumed for her beauty. She wants somebody to take care of her all her lifetime. Wow. Wow. That fine-looking girl will get older too. And the Lord said to me, look at your wife. She needs you more than ever. I said something last Tuesday. When you take two guys, when you take a guy and a boy, you dress up the boy. We ask, what does he do? And he walks off. When you dress up a girl, what do you say next?
Mommy, do I look fine? Daddy, am I fine?
God said to me, all these girls you see, they're looking for validation. They're looking for somebody to value them, not just to sleep with them. And do whatever you can because they are my last creation. He said, help women any way you can. Don't think of anything else but loss. He said, you know why? The devil is against them. That's why everything is released against them. You know why I love my wife today? Not just because she's lovable. She's lovable, but God has warned me that women are going through all kinds of assaults. See, in the hospital, they have a whole department for them, O&G. So please, if you are a lover of women here, if you have a mother or a sister or a wife, they need your attention more than just your sexual lost look. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. Lord, we don't want to be hindered this year. We want to get things done. We want to achieve. We want to make things happen in our lives. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to live not under these temptations and struggles. Help us to breathe new air of relief. Help us to face the future like a soldier, like an athlete running for the goal, like a farmer walking to the harvest point. Thank you for helping us. We receive all this help for every one of us over here to overtake the devil with all his entrances. And we will give you all the glory at the end of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Choir, you got a song? Let's come sing. Let's give our offering at the same time. Father, we thank you as we give our offering. We bless you for the harvest coming our way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give.